Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is McCoy v. Harrison. Mr. Hernandez?
May it please the Court? Counsel? My name is Renee Hernandez. I represent the plaintiff and appellant Tiffany McCoy in this case right before the Court. This case culminates out of a set of facts that occurred between July 6th and November 7th of 1996. During that time period, my client resided in Lee County with her husband, Timothy McCoy, a former party to this case. The only issue now on appeal is whether or not Judge Reinhardt erred in granting summary judgment as to the issue of Raymond Harrison as to whether or not he committed a Fourth Amendment violation upon Tiffany McCoy on November 7th, 1996. Between the period of July 6th and November 7th, the facts and the pretrial order that was filed and is contained in the total file before the Court indicates, and the plaintiff has asserted, that the defendant Harrison basically stalked her in his capacity as an animal investigator on behalf of the state of Illinois. This culminates in a confrontation on November 7th, 1996. The defendant Harrison, acting under his authority as a state actor, i.e. the animal welfare investigator position he holds with the Department of Agriculture for the state of Illinois. He enters the plaintiff's property, has a confrontation with the plaintiff, and it culminates again in the defendant striking the plaintiff, actual physical blow, causing her to hit the ground. He then grabs her arm. He then digs his fingernails into her skin. Now, these are the assertions by the plaintiff, Tiffany McCoy, as to the actions of Mr. Harrison. There was an action brought because of this behavior, and as the Court is well aware in the record, there was actually originally a 16-count complaint, and majority of these were state-count claims prior to my entry in this, and majority of those were disposed of. But in this instance, because of the activity alleged by Tiffany McCoy, what we're saying today is that the Court, Judge Reinhardt, erred in doing what he did in granting summary judgment. We believe that McCoy demonstrated that Harrison did in fact obtain physical control over the plaintiff. That upon the striking, the application of physical force, all right, and then the landing of my client on the ground, and then his actual grabbing of her, that a seizure occurs at that juncture. All right, he maintains physical control over the plaintiff at this point. There's a striking, a contact, and then there's a point in which my client hits the deck, and when she hits the deck, he actually has physical control over her person. Now, what we're saying is that the Court erred in granting summary judgment because this is an issue which we believe would have been properly before a jury. And we believe that a jury could find that the defendant's use of force was unreasonable and a violation of the plaintiff's Fourth Amendment rights. Now, as the Court is well aware, the Civil Rights Act was to provide protection to those persons wronged by the misuse of power possessed by the virtue of state law. Here we have Mr. Harrison acting in his capacity as an animal welfare investigator, and that's the only reason he's there. He acknowledges it. It's in the final pretrial order of uncontested facts that's in and part of this record, that he's there by virtue of that capacity. He's there. He then utilizes that capacity to violate my client's constitutional rights, which is that he conducts this Fourth Amendment violation, but the whole premise is predicated on his ability or his capacity as that state officer, so that he is clothed in the authority of state law. We believe that the plaintiff has in fact set forth a Fourth Amendment violation, and that Section 1983 is the proper outlet for us to come before the district court and seek a jury trial on the issue.
Mr. Hernandez, at the trial court level, did you your client ever assert that her freedom was impaired?
The freedom as a general proposition?
Well, general or specific, whatever.
No one ever said my freedom was impaired. What was?
As opposed to a charge of battery, for example.
Well, there's a distinction. I agree. But no one actually came out and said my freedom was impaired. It's the actions of Mr. Harrison and the action in which my client complains that we assert actually equals that seizure, so that there's a distinction. It's not just a plain state battery charge, which the defendant would have you believe. We believe that it's something more.
Well, I understand it. Your position being, I suppose, if the law enforcement officer went into a tavern and accosted someone who was an underage, he believed or she believed to be an underage person, and they had the same kind of exchange, physical exchange that you had here, and someone went to the ground, but no arrest occurred, that you would say that that's similar, I think similar situation would amount to a seizure as opposed to a battery.
I would say that, Judge. I mean, he's clothed in the authority of his position. He's acting under the color of law. And then it's whether a person submits to the assertion of force or physical force is applied. And I think we've asserted in our case law that regardless of whether the citizen yields to that force. And in one of the cases, California v. Hodari, one of the propositions that set forth, the seizure is effectuated by the slightest application of physical force. So that the actual force that's used and whether or not it's severe or anything of that nature, that analysis really doesn't come into play. What does come into play is there a use of force clothed under the color of law by the individual? And in this instance, obviously because of the actions, it's an intentional act. We believe that Mr. Harrison, he's only there because of his job, and his job doesn't allow him the use of force, so that any use of force by him is unreasonable.
You don't deny that he had a right to come out and check on the dogs, do you?
No, I do not, Judge.
And was that area where the dogs were kept, that's separate from the house area?
That's correct. It was away from the curtilage of the home. That is why I did the oral motion to dismiss the search claim.
And what kind of dogs were these?
These were German Shepherds and I want to say I'm not a dog person per se, so but I believe
you're talking to a judge who is, though. Well, that's why you have that inquiry, among other things.
Well, tell him it's a Rottweiler. He knows what that is.
Well, these were large dogs, and my client had kept a hobby kennel, and she raised them. And one of the purposes in raising them was for security. So these were attack dogs, and that was one of the reasons why there was a confrontation on the property, because my client feared for anyone's safety if they were to go and to enter the kennels or to get near these dogs, because these dogs are very dangerous animals, and only to her and her husband are they friendly. But anyone else entering the property, they would be of great danger, because they are security dogs, and she raises them in a hobby kennel. So,
you're into your rebuttal time, Mr.
Thank you, Judge. With all of this and our argument before the court, Judge, we're asking this court to reverse and remand this matter for trial on the only issue, and that is against Raymond Harrison in his individual capacity. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Ms. Fox?
Good morning, Your Honor. Diane Putz for the defendant appellee, Raymond Harrison. May it please the court. The district court was correct in granting Mr. Harrison's motion for summary judgment on the Fourth Amendment issue, and he asked this court to affirm that decision. Before the district court and before this court, the plaintiff is asking for an expansion of the Fourth Amendment in order to fit the facts of this case. She equates physical force with an unconstitutional seizure, and plaintiff's interpretation this way does away with the seizure requirement altogether and jumps to the excessive force language found in the Fourth Amendment. The County of Sacramento case makes clear that you can have physical contact between a state actor and a private citizen absent a seizure situation, and that's what we have here. In the County of Sacramento case, we had a police officer's car striking and killing a private citizen. Certainly that constitutes physical contact much greater than what is at issue in this case, and yet the U.S. Supreme Court said no seizure and therefore no Fourth Amendment violation. The plaintiff is not without relief in this case. She has possibly stated a claim for a 14th Amendment violation, as well as a state law claim for assault and battery against Mr. Harrison. To determine whether a search has occurred, we look at the totality of the circumstances. First, we look at the acts leading up to the physical confrontation between the plaintiff and Mr. Harrison. Mr. Harrison was on the property in order to investigate a complaint made against the plaintiff's dog kennel, and it had nothing to do with the plaintiff personally. He was not there to talk to the plaintiff. He was not there to issue her a citation or to arrest her or to investigate the plaintiff's person or her personal residence. He was on the property as an animal welfare investigator.
He'd been there before, hadn't he?
He had been there before, correct.
Did he know anything about the dogs being dangerous or anything?
He had previously been on the property to investigate other complaints as to the welfare of the dogs in her kennel.
Is this kennel still in operation?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
You're not a dog person per se.
There's no allegation that Mr. Harrison was on the property in a uniform or had a gun or otherwise had a threatening presence about him that we would measure a seizure, that someone would reasonably believe that they were under seizure. And we have the plaintiff's actions in coming out of her personal residence in order to confront Mr. Harrison. The physical confrontation, we have the plaintiff initiating the contact by prohibiting Mr. Harrison from going into the kennel area. Construing the facts most favorably to the plaintiff, as we must for summary judgment purposes, we then have Mr. Harrison slapping the plaintiff and momentarily grasping her arm while she's on the ground to dig his fingernails into her arm. There's nowhere alleged in the complaint or at the deposition that the plaintiff's that the physical confrontation resulted in the plaintiff's inability to move, to restrict her freedom of movement, or that there was anywhere that the plaintiff desired to go. We look at the facts after the confrontation. The plaintiff moved freely away from Mr. Harrison and actually ordered Mr. Harrison to stay where he was so that she could call the police and report his actions therein. No one factor in this case is dispositive as to whether or not a seizure occurred, but taking all of these facts together, the reasonable inference is that a battery occurred, and at no time was the plaintiff actually seized or that she believed at any time that she was not free to move away from Mr. Harrison, and in addition, the facts demonstrate that Mr. Harrison did not intend to seize the plaintiff, and at most, what he intended to do was to injure her. In conclusion, the Fourth Amendment does not fit the facts of this case, and it would be an unjustified expansion of the Fourth Amendment to find that a seizure occurred here. I'd ask the court not do that and to affirm the district court.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you, Ms. Potts. Mr. Hernandez?
In response, the County of Sacramento v. Lewis also sets forth the proposition of an analysis under shocks the conscience. I don't know how we get that far in the analysis. This isn't the type of action where that type of analysis would be appropriate. The high-speed chase, which she speaks of, is entirely different. We're actually talking about a physical confrontation between my client and the defendant, Harrison. There is a point of contact where my client alleges there's a holding, so that there is an actual physical contact and a continued holding of my client. Whether or not my client believed that to be the case, I don't think that's how the analysis is set forth before the court or the law. It doesn't require my client to believe that she was restrained in this instance and not in the fact that we're alleging. We're not saying false imprisonment or something like that. We're saying that she was, in this instance, the seizure occurred because of the use and the excessive use of force by Mr. Harrison.
Do you have any sense from this from the record, as alleged, Mr. Hernandez, what you would suggest is the duration of the seizure?
I would say it was probably a total of 5 seconds. I mean, it's a relatively short period of time. But again, whether or not there's an intent on on Mr. Harrison's part. I think that the Supreme Court has told us that evil intent versus good intent is not the issue, because you can't make a constitutional violation out of either of those. If you look at the totality of the circumstances, and then you determine whether or not a constitutional violation has occurred. I think in this instance, the plaintiff has demonstrated enough issue or enough of the issue to go before a jury. So with that said, we ask this court to reverse the judgment of the district court and allow the plaintiff to go to jury. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.